Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have a good friend on whom I haven't had on for a few years now, and it's time. And we're going to talk today about choices and thinking outside the box and wealth. And not your typical wealth where you put it in the bank and you hope for the best on Wall Street. This is about taking your power back and taking control of your finances. And by definition, I think your peace of mind and ultimately your health. Today, I'd like to welcome Michael Cobb. He's the chairman and CEO of ECI Development. He's been a success in the computer industry. He formed Exotic K International in 1996, and the company was converted into a Belize offshore bank in 2003. He and his partners also purchased farm and planted 100 acres of teak timber in Panama in 1999. ECI Development was formed in 1996 as a multi-country developer with projects in Belize, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, and Argentina, and is developing over 5 miles of beachfront in Nicaragua and Costa Rica, along with 3 properties in the Ambergris Cay in Belize, where people can retire or not and enjoy a quality lifestyle. He speaks at dozens of international conferences annually, and offshore real estate, finance, residency and citizenship, resort development and property ownership conferences. He was a consultant to the Oxford Club, hosted a weekly radio program. He sits on the board of several international companies, including Escape Artist, and gives counsel to projects throughout Latin America. So this is somebody who has taken a leap, and I think initially on faith, but actually has found the world is a much different place and much more friendly than you can imagine. And so I wanted to have you on, Mike, today. I thank you and welcome, by the way, to speak
thank
about
you.
Your experiences, to open up my listeners' minds as to how do you protect your wealth? How do you create your wealth? How do you think outside the box? Because we're in a lot of under siege at this point in our country and I'm sure in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, Elena, really good to be back on the program. Thank you. I enjoyed our very first conversation. And yes, it being with you on the radio is like having a wonderful conversation with a friend, and I appreciate that. It's a gift that you have to be able to make somebody feel as comfortable as I do chatting with you. And you know, I guess I'll just come back really early, back to that 1996. You asked sort of a question there. You said, how did I get involved? But, you know, I was 1996. I would have been 31, 32. And I bought my very first rental property, as an investment. And unlike the vast majority of people, I bought my very first rental property outside the United States. I'm a U.S. citizen. But I bought my first rental property in Belize. And you know, this is long before the internet really hit. This is 96 and there was no Airbnb or VRBOs or anything like that. So we, my business partner and I, we each bought a condo side by side and we started running ads I ran them in the Washington Post. He put them in the Pittsburgh Post Gazette, you know, a little classified ad. And, you know, we started, you know, running a little rental business in our condo down in our 2 condos in Belize. And that's really what got us started, and it just kind of grew from there, as you said, into a mortgage company, and that business actually spun off into a bank. It's still really a mortgage business because you know there's no mortgage money when people go overseas to buy property. They even today, whatever, 25 years later, you still have to really pay the full amount. There's no financing because you know a bank in Atlanta where you are is definitely not going to lend money on a condo in Belize. And the banks in Belize don't really want to lend foreigners money. So basically, if you want to buy a couple $100,000 condo, you got to be able to write the check. And what we saw was just a tremendous opportunity to come in and serve a North American clientele who wanted to own property in Belize initially, but then Roatan, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, throughout the region, and provide financing to those clients who wanted that. And that's really our first foray. And as you mentioned, we've done some other things too, but But I want to circle back to this outside the box. You know, back in the 90s, I was late 80s and through the 90s, I was in the computer business in the Washington, D.C. area. And what I really started to realize was this idea of being outside the box and how critically important it is to, and in fact, a quote, it came out of my college magazine. I don't know who said it anymore. And I used to physically have a headache. I cut it out of my magazine and stuck it on my bulletin board at work back in the early mid 90s. And there's no competition outside the masses. Strive to be outside the competition. And from a very early age in my 20s, I understood that to be successful, I needed to be outside the competition. It doesn't mean I'm breaking the rules, because I'm a very, you know, straight-laced, rule-abiding kind of person. I believe in honor, and I believe that my word is my bond. And, you know, and when I see people cheat in professional sports, it just irks me horribly, because, like, it's just wrong to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big difference between cheating and being outside the competition or being outside the box. And that really has made all the difference in my life, living my life outside the box, being different in some, you know, some important ways, probably some silly ways too, but, you know, my daughter likes to, but they like to roll their eyes at me. There goes dad again, but, you know, but it's okay. I'm an outside the box thinker generally, and it has proven, you know, very successful for me personally, but also for the hundreds and hundreds of clients that we have who have, you know, also begun to see how they can be outside the box, outside the mainstream, and have some significant wins, both, you know, financially, which is, you know, a big part of our lives,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, psychically and emotionally, right? I mean, when you travel to really cool different places, I mean, what a wonderful experience that you get to internalize and own for the rest of your life, right? These incredible experiences that people can have that are truly outside the box. So,
I think what you're saying is, it means that it's an egalitarian view of it. It's not like you have to be a multimillionaire. We're talking about average folks, working folks who need to actually, you can want more and you can get more. You might need to leave the country to do it, but you'd be surprised how awesome it is when you think that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to take a break in about a minute or so, but I just wanted to tee up the question of the transfer of wealth. Over the 90 days since this COVID crisis has started, or so, maybe a little longer than that now, we've seen a lot of economic upheaval. What do you think it's, in your opinion, has been the, how's it shaking out? Are people, I mean, we can't answer down the road about the economy, but I'm just saying in general, has the movement been towards people losing their financial footing? Has it been a transfer of wealth? And if so, in which direction?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody likes to think about these $1,200 checks or these, you know, payroll protection kind of things,
mm-hmm.
right? That the individuals get. I mean, that money is chump change. The amount of money that was transferred either through direct transfer, actual cash payments, and or tax incentives and other what I would call corporate welfare programs is in the trillions of dollars, and so. The wealth transfer has made the top 1%, I don't know what the number is, but that group, right,
mm-hmm.
the top people, much, much, much wealthier, and has destroyed unbelievable amounts of wealth, at the, you know, middle class and lower class. The loss of jobs, the loss of the job for whatever 90 days, but it's not over. It's not over probably, and can't predict the future for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then businesses that are going out of business that employ people, the destruction of wealth at the sort of the middle and below has been horrendous, and the transfer of wealth to the, you know, to the middle and up, or the top, you know, top 10% and up, or whatever it is, has been tremendous for them. So I think it's been a horrible situation for people, you know, and the economy, but for people.
I would agree. Let's take our first break. You're living the solution. This is Dr. George. Each week I speak about our healthcare system and the problems with it. One of the main problems is the doctor-patient relationship. I've found that patients really crave time, the time to ask their doctor questions, and physicians crave the time to answer those questions in a thorough manner. Towards that end, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is pleased to announce a new video telemedicine service. We now offer consultation for second opinions and for people who'd like to learn more and ask questions about how to navigate the healthcare system in a cost-effective and efficient manner. Go to peachtreeentcenter.video-visits.com to learn more.
If you missed the show, you can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and a host of other multimedia platforms. Subscribe and share it with your friends.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Michael Cobb. He is the chairman and CEO of ECI Development, and people should go to their website, ecidevelopment.com, and there you'll find all the things that they offer, their resources, gallery of the various properties that people can actually, I guess, own or, and go to, for that matter. And yeah. Before the break, we were talking about the transfer of wealth. And, you know, my take on this, I agree with you. Compared to the last bailout that we had, it was slightly different in the sense that zero came to anybody in a form of a check or any kind of helping hand like the PPP, you know, the payroll yeah. protection program. And that was slightly different. But you're right. The banks were making money on every transaction and so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't know where this is going to shake out. My hope is that the country will be able to rebound. And I'm happy that some of our the supply lines are now coming back into the United States from being in one place, which is not safe, as we all know now. Right. So hopefully right. this will rebound and the pendulum will swing. But when that pendulum swings, I think I've learned a lesson about where you want to park your money, where you want to put your eggs. And for me, it's not Wall Street. I don't trust that at all. Since you win, I win, you lose, I win. That seems to be their mentality and their mantra. And I yep. can gamble with your money as much as I like. And if I fail, I'm going to get paid out. But oh, well, too bad for you. So from my That's standpoint, right. I'm not interested in that. So I want to talk about this for myself as well as my listeners. What okay. you offer is something tangible. We're not talking about, you know, virtual money, digital transfer. We're talking about concrete, real, you know, tangible assets. And is that right. how you see it? Is that what people think of when they start coming to you for help?
Well, you know, yes. And let me just first of all say I'm not a financial advisor mm-hmm. and, you know, all those kinds of disclaimers, you know, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I'll tell you why I did it. So this is, I mean, you know, and I'm allowed to say that why I did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in 99, you mentioned it, I planted myself and a couple business partners. We planted 100 acres of teak trees in Panama. And when I did the research about it, so I read some articles talking about it in 97, 98, took a year of research. And by 99, you know, we'd identified a piece of property in Panama and we planted the trees. And I, at the time I was a member of the local Rotary Club. And I remember the people, cause if you miss a meeting, you gotta, you know, make up a meeting or pay a fine or whatever. And people would tease me, all right, Cobb, yeah, you weren't here the last 2 weeks. Where were you? Oh, down in Panama. We, you know, we bought this farm. We're going to, you know, we're going to plant some trees, or we just got back. We planted the trees, whatever it was. And people go, what? I'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we bought this farm. We planted 100 acres of teak trees. And in 25 years, we're going to cut them down and we're going to make a lot of money. And then we're going to plant them again for our kids. Right. And then mm-hmm. 25 years later, they can harvest them. And 25 years later, they can, you know, plant them for their kids, my grandkids. Right. And it mm-hmm. becomes this generational wealth stewardship. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And people were laughing and poking fun at me. And, you know, right. This is definitely the outside the box thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And what I find, I mean, a couple of weeks went by, a couple of these meetings went by, and I finally came up with the answer that resonated with me and maybe some other folks. And it was simply this, Elena. In 25 years, I'm either going to need the money and be really glad I did this, or in 25 years, I'm not going to need the money and I'm going to be really glad I did this. And here we are 20 years later. I mean, it's 21 years later. And, you know, I'm really glad I did this because our trees are giant. I mean, they're a foot, more than a foot and a half. I don't know, foot and a half in diameter. And they're, I don't know, 70 feet tall. I mean, they're just these big giant teak trees, mm-hmm. right? And in 4 or 5 years, we're going to cut them down and we're going to make a lot of money. But here's the interesting thing. We come back to this whole wealth transfer and this outside the box stuff, right? When I was doing the research on who owned teak and why they owned it, what I found was, and it's not just teak, it's timber generally, but timber generally, teak specifically, it is huge family offices, the multi-billion dollar wealthy people, and big college endowments and big insurance companies, because you couldn't get into teak or timber for small amounts of money, right? It was like you had to drop millions and millions of dollars. Well, you know, we took advantage of a tax program in Panama to be able to buy a piece of property fairly inexpensively, and again, some other tax incentives to be able to hire a forestry company. And we did 100 acres. It was still a decent size investment, mm-hmm. but six of us did it, so we split it up, right? But typically, you know, if you want to own timber, you're going to invest, you know, tens of millions of dollars as the initial investment, and then you're going to wait, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever the time period is. So, you know, we figured out a way to, you know, a small group of us to kind of get into that. And what's been interesting is we just purchased another farm in Panama late last year, and, you know, with some baby teak, and I say baby teak, I mean, it's just planted, right? So what we call newborn teak, right? We just planted. And people can get into that for about $7,000, and own actual teak trees. Yes, it's 25 years, right? But here's the reality. 25 years is going to come. I mean, you know, we hope it comes. I mean, we could die between now and then, but for most of us, right, at whatever age, like we can see that in 25 years, we certainly hope to be alive. And wouldn't we love to have a nice big, you know, check 25 years from now, then plant again. And like 25 years after that, maybe we're still alive. Maybe it's our kids. Maybe it's our grandkids. I don't know. But that was really a big outside the box, outside the competition kind of move that we made. And we entered a space that, again, has been totally reserved for the uber wealthy, you know, the top 1% of the 1% kind of people, because you just couldn't play there. But we figured out a way to play there, and we've figured out ways to make that something again for, you know, just under $7,000. That it opens up that product class to many, many, many more people who would never have been able to do something like that. So it's pretty cool. It's very rewarding, and it's definitely. Definitely something that, you know, we've seen a lot of traction on, a lot of people. And, you know, and one other thing, just real quick, I mentioned, I'm not going to go into it at all, but Panama, the country that we have, we actually have two plantations now. We have one in Panama, one in Nicaragua, but the Panama plantation, you know, can be bundled with a residency program to help you get a second residency. Some folks are looking to have a residency outside the United States. They want to have a second residency, sort of a plan B. And Panama is a great place for that. So we've been able to actually bundle the teak product with the residency paperwork as well. So just some neat things going on, again, that are outside the box and not commonly heard or talked about.
You know, I would piggyback on what you just said, because I've seen a lot of islands, you know, in the Caribbean and elsewhere, having citizenship by investment. And $7,000, I'm sorry, pales in comparison to $250,000 or $500,000 or more, where you get nothing. I mean, you're just putting in the money and you're just getting a citizenship. This is actually really awesome, because you're talking about generational, ongoing, you know, making a difference. And I mean, teak is something that people build on. So you're actually creating something. This is a creation. It's not just sucking out resources. It's actually helping people. And the way and the teak itself helps people. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. It's a win-win, in my opinion, for everybody, the way you describe it.
Yeah, well, and we found that to be the case. I mean, the people that look at it, you know, one of the challenges I think people have, you know, psychologically is just getting their, you know, their toe outside the U.S., not on a trip. I mean, lots of people take trips out, mm-hmm. outside, but to actually make an investment outside the U.S. seems very scary and, you know, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's the indoctrination that we've had, you know, over our lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
But an investment, I actually feel far more comfortable personally with my investments that are outside the United States, outside the market, than I do with anything in the U.S. market. I have U.S. investments, but again, hard assets, things. I have some money in the market, right? I have some IRA stuff, but boy, I like you said, if I win, they win. If I lose, they win. I mean,
exactly.
They get their bonuses whether I make money or lose money, and like, there's just something wrong with that formula.
I would agree with that. I mean, their fiduciary responsibility is not really to you. It's to them, you know, and to their company.
Right.
And that really shouldn't be the
yep.
case. And it's a casino. And there's no casino that I know of that
yes.
it's the house is always going to win, right? That's how they made
yep,
their money.
The house always wins. Yeah, it's funny. I wrote an article 20 years ago called the biggest casino in the world. And no, it's not Las Vegas. Right, it was Wall Street. So, right, it is a casino, and the house always wins. That is correct. Yep. Yep.
Well, when you think about I know maybe you can speak to, for those who don't understand, you know, you're making an investment. How do you make money, or how much money can you expect overall to make from your investment? It's not a small amount from what you're describing.
No, and you know, I mean, the thing about timber, let me just talk generally, and again, peak specifically, you've kind of got two things going on, which is interesting. So you've got the physical growth of the tree, which is, you know, growing in size, which is producing more and more of this thing called wood that we would turn into boards or furniture or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, so we're gonna take this real physical thing called wood, and every year the tree produces more wood. It just physically grows. But then on top of that, over the last 100 years, which is what we have some metrics on, the price of teak, on average over 100 years, some years more, some years less, but over 100 years, the price of teak in the marketplace has gone up about 5.5% a year. So not only do you have physical growth of your tree, which is more wood every year, you also have a growth in the price of teak year over year over year. And so when you take those two things, you know, the 5% growth in the price plus the growth of the tree, we're really talking about growth of, you know, double digit. I mean, it's 10, 11, 12% kind of return.
Mm-hmm.
But let me be very clear and upfront. You know, a lot of people, what scares them away is this notion of, well, so I'm going to make this investment. What if I need the money in 15 years? Well, you can't have it because your tree's only half grown. Or
mm-hmm.
I didn't do the math on that right. But, you know, I mean, it's got 10 more years, so you can cut it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and that's scary to a lot of people, that they're going to lock up their money for 25 years. But when you've got something that grows at those kinds of growth rates, both physical and, you know, monetary, actually you want it to go for 25 years because, you know, every year it grows. I mean, it's compounding, right?
Yeah.
So it's powerful. It's powerful. The numbers are big. We actually have documents that show that. If folks want that, you know, they can certainly just send an email to info@ecidevelopment.com. And just put something like, you know, Dr. George radio program in the subject line and say something like teak, or, hey, by the way, you mentioned other resources. One of the other resources that people, so teak would be one thing if they're interested in seeing that information. The other is a consumer resource guide, which is a document that we've written and published for about 20 years now on how to buy property overseas. It's not a sales document. It doesn't have any information in it about our products. It is strictly a consumer resource guide on how to buy property overseas, the 15 questions we should ask, just stuff like that.
Well, Mike, let me stop you and pick that up because we have a hard break.
Yeah.
So let's take our break and come right back. You're Living the Solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Michael Cobb, the chairman and CEO of ECI Development. And before the break, you were talking about the marketing platform and the Global Resource Guide. And I want you to repeat that because that's a really awesome. Thank you for telling us about that, because I was going to ask you, how do people, where do you start? So this sounds like something that gives you a nice, primer on what to look for.
Yeah. Well, the sad reality is that much of what is in that document were lessons that we learned by making mistakes. We've been working in, Latin America, Central America and Latin America now for 25 years. We've paid a lot of tuition. We've made a lot of mistakes. We've cleaned up our mistakes. We're still around. But whenever we made those mistakes, we always looked at what did we learn from this, right? What could we do better next time? What could we do different next time?
Mm-hmm.
And as those things started to happen in the first, 2, 3, 4 years of doing business, in the first 2 or 3, 4 years, you make a lot of mistakes. we had a lot of material to work with. So we actually put it together in what we called then our 15 questions to buying property overseas. We don't know what we don't know. And so here are 15 things that we should always ask, when we're buying property overseas. And it's evolved over time. It's gotten more sophisticated, which is good. It's still very simple. We basically say there are 15 questions and 3 simple, steps, right? We need to buy what we see. We need to own community and we need to know the developer. If we can't remember the 15 questions, but we can just remember 3 simple concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Buy what you see. If a developer tells you they're gonna build a golf course, well, you know what? Gonna is easy to say, but building a golf course is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's there, great. If it's not there, well, you shouldn't pay for it. And that's the kind of counsel we give in this document. We say, look, it's not like you shouldn't if a developer doesn't have a golf course but says he's gonna build a golf course. Well, that's fine if you like to golf, but you shouldn't pay for the property as if the golf course is there because it's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually a lot worse in many cases. Like there are no roads. Unlike the U.S. where you can't just go to a field and pick out your lot and the developer says, yeah, we're gonna put roads over here. There are roads when you go to buy your lot, right? In Latin America, the rules and regulations just are simply not there in terms of consumer protection, which is one of the reasons why people should be fearful when they go overseas because, they don't know what they don't know. I don't, you don't, none of us do, right? So we need to be more careful. We need to do better due diligence. And this document gives us the tools to do excellent due diligence when we buy property overseas. And we just need to understand that it's buyer beware. The government's not there to protect us. There's no big brother looking over our shoulder, no regulatory bodies making sure the developer's doing what they said they were going to do. So I like that, by the way, because I'm okay with personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I take that personal responsibility, what I end up with is more freedom. So I want the freedom. I'm willing to take the personal responsibility to get it. And so, this document is a great document. Again, not a sales document. It is due diligence. If you're thinking about buying property overseas or making an investment outside the U.S., and we give it away for free. So basically, if your listeners want to get a copy, they can shoot me an email and just write something like, information guide or consumer guide in the subject line, and we'll send them a copy.
Okay, that'd be awesome. And it's the info address? Give us the address again.
Yeah, info@ecidevelopment.com. And if you don't mind and you're listening to this and you do it, just write something like Dr. George in there. We always like to track, who's coming and we'll send you a copy of the Consumer Resource Guide. I think in the last segment we touched on the TEEQ.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in looking at the TEEQ information, just write TEEQ in the subject line, or you can write TEEQ and guide, whatever. We'll get all that information over to you.
Well, let's segue, because TEEQ, we talk about that as an option for investment. What about straight home ownership? or being able to use it as a second house and rent it out and that sort of thing as a you know, is that another option that you can use if teak's not your cup of tea?
Sure, absolutely. You know, we've been building homes and condominiums for about 20 years now, 21 years. And, you know, again, we've always looked at it as, you know, building a product that's comfortable and familiar to a North American. How we got in the business, when we first started, you know, doing our mortgage company, we looked at a lot of property and we looked at a lot of homes and condos. It just didn't meet a North American sort of expectation or standard. And so we began to build products for, again, a middle-class consumer, $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 product, in these wonderful, beautiful locations, Belize, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama. I mean, so these are wonderful, locations, but delivering products that people could afford. One of the things that we just announced earlier this year in February, is that our Grand Bayman Gardens property in Belize, is now branded a Best Western. And this was all pre-COVID. But, you know, one of the things that we're starting to see, in fact, there's some empirical research that was just done in the last 30 days. Google searches, apparently, because they can measure the metrics on who searches for what. People are now searching for brands at about a 68-69% when they're looking for hotels. They're actually Googling brand names as opposed to hotel in Belize. It's more like, you know, Marriott in Belize or Best Western in Belize or Hilton in Belize or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so people are searching for brands. And it's not surprising because, you know, I mean, certainly the whole COVID pandemic has created incredible fear and uncertainty in society, right? People have lost their jobs. Yeah. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know if it's going to kill us or not. Or yeah, you know, right. I mean, there's just a ton of fear and uncertainty. Well, when there's fear and uncertainty, people go to brands, right? They want surety. They want the certainty. And one of the things that, now this was not in the research that I read, but this is my correlation to it, is that I think as we come out of the impact of the virus or the, you know, the panic resulting from the virus, I think, you know, we're certainly going to see some tougher economic times. And as people, you know, decide on where they want to vacation, I think they're going to be a lot more careful with their money because, you know, they might have had 3-4 vacations prior to this, but now they can really only have one or maybe two. And so I think the brand selection on people's vacations is going to be, again, it's already trending higher according to the search data. Mm-hmm. I think the actual travel to branded product will be much higher. And so, you know, if folks are looking for a property to own overseas as a vacation property, but they want to rent it when they're not there, you know, a branded product is my prediction anyway, going to be a much stronger product in the marketplace as a result of the, you know, the fear and uncertainty leading to people wanting to choose certainty in the form of a brand. So like our Best Western property, again, we put this into play because we're big brand people. You know, we like the brand. Brands bring, in addition to all that stuff, right? Brands bring procedures, process, standards to, you know, to an organization, right? And so for our organization, like all of a sudden, Best Western brings a whole set of implementing regulations on how to efficiently and effectively operate a hotel to give the highest levels of guest experience, which is what we want. We want the people who come and stay at our properties to have a wonderful time, right? Exactly. I mean, that's our goal, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you work with a brand, they've already figured it out. I mean, they've figured it out in, you know, thousands of hotels around the world, you know, what works and what doesn't work, and they're always tweaking it and making it better. So, you know, we don't have to invent that wheel. It's already been invented. We can layer on top of our knowledge of the local marketplace and take their, you know, their hotel experience. And the two of those things together is pretty powerful. So, so these Bayman Garden, the small studio condos start under $100,000, and you can finance, you know, up to about 70% of that. There's some closing costs you can't finance, but you can finance 70% of the actual hard costs of the of the studio condo. So for, you know, $35,000 down, because the five's kind of the closing costs, right? Mm-hmm. For $35,000 down, you can actually own a studio condo in Ambergris Key, Belize. It's a Best Western branded product. And, again, the return on investment there is, you know, early years, you know, 5-7%. And by the time it's fully matured and sort of year 10, you start to get up in that 9-11% kind of return on investment, which that's pretty good yield. And it's, and Elena, it's outside the U.S. It's a foreign investment. So you're getting this incredible diversification, as well. So lots of upside, you know, different kinds of upside in that one formula. Yeah,
that's pretty neat. And you can also use it. So it's kind of a combination. When you have time, you can go and, you know, just relax and enjoy, and then otherwise make money on it. And that's when my dad used to always say, you should be making money when you're sleeping. That's your goal. And that's
a good goal.
So I kind of like that. Right now I'm working for everything
I
get.
Too.
So on that, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution.
If you've tried taking over-the-counter medications but still have problems with nasal congestion, recurrent sinus infections, sinus headaches, or a dry mouth when you wake up in the morning, why not fix the problem? From natural integrative treatment to minimally invasive surgery, Peachtree ENT Center will work with you to find the solution that works best for you. Call 404-591-9100 today to make an appointment, or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Michael Cobb, and again, people need to go to the website, ecidevelopment.com. And I'm looking at, there's also Belize Marriott as well. So you have other hotels that are branded with you, sounds like.
We do. We really like what a brand brings to the table. And again, with all the kinds of, you know, processes, procedures, standards, all the kinds of things that make for a very, very efficiently run hotel, but ultimately deliver a great experience to the guest. Mm-hmm. So we actually signed our Marriott contracts about a year and a half ago, to build. And, we started construction, right before COVID and before the lockdowns, but we're back under construction now with our, pier dive shop restaurant, complex, that's under construction, and we expect to be open by the end of 2022 with a 202 room Marriott hotel on Ambergris Key.
Now, I know that it's exciting to look at it online, but I understand you have discovery tours, right? That people can go down and actually check out the properties and actually check out the teak too. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. You say have, I had and will have.
I'm post-COVID, sorry. I'm post-COVID.
Yeah, so it's okay. I'm just teasing. But yeah, so we absolutely love to have people come down because, you know, look, I mean, you know, it's all part of the due diligence process, and that's a big deal. I mean, we never, ever push. I mean, look, people, come on down. We need customers. You know, this month, we need customers next year. We need customers in 5 years. We're all about serving people when people are ready to own something. And a big part of that, you know, ownership process, the buying process, is coming to, we call it kick in the sand or kick in the dirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get down there and see it with your own eyes. Because again, the very first part of the due diligence is buy what you see. Well, I mean, you got to see it, right? So
mm-hmm.
that means coming down. And so, yeah, we do. We run these great discovery tours. Unlike a lot of companies that I think use high pressure methods, you know, they give you the trip for free, or they give you some super discounted cheap trip, and then, you know, you spend the next 4 days wishing you were dead while they thumbscrew you. All right.
Yeah.
We do the exact opposite. You pay for your own trip. You pay for your airfare. You pay for the hotel. If you decide to move ahead with the, you know, with the product or the investment, then we actually rebate the cost of that trip. If you don't move ahead, we make sure you've had a fun time. And I mean, nobody's under any obligation to attend any of our meetings. But we do fun stuff. But we do scavenger hunts. We do sunset, you know, snorkel cruises. We go up, if we're in Panama, we go to the canal, we do a canal tour. And I mean, so we just do a lot of fun stuff, so that it's a great trip. And then we do the businessy stuff too, but nobody's under any obligation to be a part of any of it. But most people want to be, that's why they came. But if somebody moves ahead, we rebate, you know, those costs back to them. And so we do it the opposite way of what I think a lot of developers do, which is the really cheap or free trip, and then you're just sort of stuck for 4 days of high pressure sales, and it's just not how we operate. So anyway, we make it a fun trip, whether you buy or not. We can assure you, you're going to have a blast, and that's what we want. We want people to come have a great time, and if it's a good product and it fits what you're looking for, we'd love to have you as an investor. We'd love to have you as a neighbor, in one of our neighborhoods. But if it doesn't, that's okay too. We hope you had a great time with us, and come back another time and see us again.
Yeah, it's like you don't know what you know until you get there. And it sounds like there's a lot of expats. So, you know, people like would think sometimes get a little skittish about going to a foreign country, but you might not speak the language and the culture is a little bit different. You might be the only one there. But that doesn't sound like that's the case here. It's a welcoming community. I mean, in Nicaragua, and I know Panamanians are awesome. So that's not an issue where you feel like, hey, you can't go into town, or you're really sticking out like a sore thumb. It doesn't seem to be that way at all.
Well, it's not. But, you know, the other thing is that we do, and we do a tremendous amount of corporate social responsibility. But what we do is we actually engage our residents, our neighbors and our residents, and our guests. We have a lot of folks who come down for a week's vacation, say in Nicaragua, and they want to do something. And typically, people who are coming down, we send them a note ahead of time saying, hey, it's called Pack with a Purpose. Hey, if you can throw in some, you know, school stuff, school supplies, crayons, markers, I don't care, whatever. I mean, they have a list of things, right? And so bring them down. And then when you get here, if you want to deliver them to a school, you know, because we teach in the schools every day of the week, or I guess 4 days of the week, you know, somebody is teaching in the school. So you go with Holly, and that's who does it in Nicaragua. So you go with Holly, or you go with Betsy in Belize or whatever. Mm-hmm. Go to the school. You can give away the supplies. You can read to the children in English. I mean, you don't have to be a teacher. You just sit there and read a fun book, you know, in English. And, you know, and these are the kinds of things. But like you, you're a physician. We actually host physician groups 4 or 5 times a year. We host a couple dental groups a year. We build a clinic at Grand Pacifica.
Cool.
And so we actually have the facilities that the inbound medical dental teams can use. But what happens is we involve the local, I like Rotary. So we involve the local Rotary Club and we also involve Lions as well. But the Lions Club, the, you know, service clubs, whatever, Rotary. And so you actually get to meet and engage and hang out with, yeah, Nicaraguans, right? Mm-hmm. Business professionals who are part of the Rotary Club in Nicaragua. So now you're not just tied into the expat community. You're tied into the Nicaraguan business community, because Rotary is mostly business, right? Mm-hmm. Or medical. And so, if you're a resident, right, you're going to build these relationships that will last, you know, for forever. I mean, these are going to be people you'll see time and time again at the various functions and events. If you're there for a week on vacation and you run out to the school, or you do something with the Rotary Club, and we're always doing different things, you know, you're going to make some pen pals, right? Maybe Facebook friends or something. Maybe you see them again, maybe you don't. But for anybody who's a property owner, especially people who visit regularly or reside full-time, and we have a lot of full-time residents in our communities, the engagement cross-nationality, cross-culture is real, significant, and it's meaningful. I think a lot of times people, like you said, worry about, am I going to be able to, kind of engage? I stand out. We actually do a great job of letting people find, integration through service work. It's wonderful. It really works.
It sounds like a win-win again for both the people, the local folks, as well as the people coming in and living there. And so I have a question about the Panama business investment to getting a becoming a citizen. Maybe you can't answer this question, but what about the tax side of this? So if you're
sure
you want to keep what you earn, right?
Yep.
How would that work?
Two things. One, let me make a clarification. In Panama, it's a residency, not a citizenship. So in the Caribbean, you've got Nevis, St. Kitts, you've got Dominica. Mm-hmm. I think St. Lucia now has a program. So you're right. There are some programs throughout the Caribbean that where you make an investment, but a lot of times it's a gift, right?
Exactly.
And 200, 300,000, 350,000, whatever it is, and you get a citizenship. In Panama, it's actually a residency. So
okay.
So it's like a green card. In the U.S., it'd be the effective, you get a green card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it can lead to citizenship over 5 years. So it's a path to citizenship, but it is not citizenship. So I just wanted to make that clarification. The nice thing about a residency is that it gives you the right to live in Panama forever. It's a permanent residency. It never expires. So literally you could pick up and move to Panama tomorrow and live there the rest of your life as a legal resident in Panama. Now, Panama taxes on source income. So if you're a resident of Panama and you run a business in Panama, you're going to pay taxes on your Panamanian income. But if you have retirement income, Social Security, investments, and you're not going to pay any Panamanian tax on that. Now, as a U.S. citizen, we are required to pay tax on our worldwide income. So we would have U.S. taxes on all income, whether it was Panamanian income or U.S. income or investment. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We get taxed on our worldwide income. But as a resident in Panama, you would only be taxed on your Panama source income. And the nice thing there is if you get taxed on that, there are some tax treaties in place so that you wouldn't be double taxed. Like you wouldn't pay, like if you got taxed on your income from Panama, you wouldn't also get taxed on that same income in the U.S.
Okay.
You won't get taxed twice, basically. So you'll pay the tax one place or the other, but the U.S. always gets its cut. There's no escaping that. Uncle Sam, her Aunt Samantha, whatever. They get their cut every time, all the time.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. At least people, I'm sure, would be asking that. And from the standpoint of kind of putting your toe in a little bit, is there a way you can just go to one of the properties and go as a rental, like go as just a tourist and not go through the discovery tour, just go a la carte?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have, basically on our, right now, no, until things open up and travel starts again. But when travel opens up, our Grand Bayman website, just go there, book a room, or Grand Pacifica in Nicaragua, just book a room. I'm one night, 10 nights, it doesn't matter. And because we operate a lot of the properties for our owners, right? The owners who don't live there, who want to rent. So yeah, that is a big part of our service to the people who own properties is we operate their homes, their condos as a hotel, for them on their behalf. So absolutely.
And you have places in Panama too, right? It's just not the Teague Farms, you can actually go and stay?
We don't yet in Panama. We have a project called Los Islotes that's up, and their first couple homes are there, but there's no real rental business at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We did actually just acquire a property 2 weeks ago in Panama that we're going to be building, and you'll like this. I'm sorry, I don't know why I didn't write this down earlier. I was thinking about things to mention. Freedom Village, okay?
Okay.
Freedom Village. It's going to be tiny homes in the mountains of Panama. It's still way early. We don't have prices. Let me just say that we will have product sub 100,000. It will be tiny homes. It'll be very eco-friendly. There'll be a very big agro component. We're looking at sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
As that comes online towards the end of this year, make sure you hear about it. And that would be a place that would be operated more like a resort. But we'll have full-time residents as well.
Okay.
We like the mix, right? It really makes for a nice community when you've got a mix of full-time residents, and in and out guests and then the integration into the local community as well. It works. It creates true community. It creates friendships and relationships that are, I think the hallmark of quality of life. right? There are very few people who are true, you know, Robinson Crusoes who can live all by themselves, without friends. I think, you know, our ability to make friends and build social networks is critically important to a high quality of life. And we've figured out the formula. That's not true. We copied, let me be very honest. We copied some of the best developments in the United States where we saw organic community happening, grassroots community happening, and we copied what they did and put it into play. And it's, you know, these principles work. And so we took the principles and we just transferred them to what we're doing in Latin America, and it's working beautifully and wonderfully. So, it feels good.
Well, we've run out of time. I just want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. Just tell us your website and your email information again.
Yeah, absolutely. So ecidevelopment.com. And to reach me, info@ecidevelopment.com. You can just write, "Hey, Mike," in the subject line, "Mike, I got a question," or you can ask for the consumer guide, or you could ask for the TEEK. But always please just write something, you know, like Dr. George Radio or something like that, just so I know how you heard about us. And, we'll reach out, we'll engage. If you want some of our country handbooks, again, these are all complimentary resources that we have available for folks looking at, you know, owning property or investing overseas.
Well, Mike, we got to end it. I'm so sorry to cut it, but I learned a great deal, and I know my listeners did too. And I want to thank you so much for your time. And I want to thank everybody.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And thanks, everyone, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.